One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hi, this is Michaela Johnson from the University of Utah Institute of Religion, and this is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. Today we have a very special guest, none other than my sister Leah, and I'm so excited to have her today because our topic today is one that is very relevant to YSAs, especially during cuffing season. There's a lot of people getting married from my mission, I know, and Leah's mission as well. So we're going to talk about how to find peace dating after returning from your mission. We're really excited about this topic. What has been your experience since coming home from your mission with dating and boys? I guess I would say, what's the difference between your dating life now and before you left on your mission? Describe what you were like before you left, your views on dating and how they've changed.
Before my mission, I was pretty much against all dating.
Yeah.
Really, didn't ever want to go on any dates, didn't want to do, like, have a boyfriend, and I mean, I have, after my mission, I don't know, I feel like I've kind of done a big flip, and that I love going on dates now. I've had several boyfriends.
What types of things do you look for in a boy? Like, do you know on the first date, or I know you do have a policy of, like, you have to go on a second date, right?
No, first date.
First date.
I will always go on at least a first date. Mm-hmm. Second date, usually yes, because, I mean, on the first date, everyone's scared, they're nervous, they're not quite exactly themselves. And so I've always just kind of had this mentality that, like, okay, I mean, like, give them a second chance when they're a little bit more comfortable and kind of see who they are. So, I don't know, maybe that's really misleading for the guy.
He's like, wait, she went on a second date with me.
But she said yes.
I thought she loves me. And then third date comes around and she's like, no. No, I think that is good policy. Honestly, like, I have not had a whole lot of experience dating. Like, in high school, you know, you go to dances and whatnot. But since I've been on my mission, I recently got the My Plan email. So those of you that have served missions, I have not started it yet, but I hear that there's advice about dating. So Leah, what is the advice that comes in a My Plan, and how have you applied that? From doing your My Plan on your mission, like, was it helpful? Do you still apply the things that you learned? What was the advice that the church gave you on returning from your mission about dating?
They talk about just starting, just going out there and just, like, just going on dates. Not being afraid of it. I think they talk about to take it kind of at your pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So don't feel like there's this pressure that, like, you need to, like, get married within the first, you know, 4 months of coming home. Mm-hmm. But to just make an effort and to talk to people and go to social events. I think that they also did talk about going on single dates and not just group dates, which was a little conflicting for me as a missionary, because I was like, in high school, they're always like, no, only go on group dates.
No pairing off.
And then all of a sudden they were like, pair off. If you're not pairing off, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of conflicting. I remember this on my mission. I was with my companion and there was a worldwide YSA devotional with Elder Oaks and his wife. And we watched it because we were missionaries and we were interacting with a lot of YSA, so we wanted to, like, keep up with what they were watching. And I mean, we were like, well, we're YSA, surely this applies to us. And we're watching it on our apartment floor, and Elder Oaks, why are you guys hanging out? You're supposed to be dating. Like, you need to be pairing off. Like, if it's not a date, don't call it a date. Like, you're not dating someone unless they pick you up with flowers and they pay for your meal and they open your door. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? Because all my life, I feel like it has been conflicting. Like, in the old For Strength of Youth, it's like, don't go on single dates, always be in a group. I remember hearing of this and I was like, don't get too close, don't get too close. And then you come home from your mission and it's like, you need to get close. Like, why aren't you married? Why aren't you having kids? Like, it's such a quick turnaround that I think sometimes, like, people can get whiplash a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't experienced that a whole lot, but I'm terrified to, like, be done with my mission. And then a month later, people are like, well, are you dating anyone?
I'm
just going to be like, it's too fast.
I think that that's where a lot of, I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, there's a lot of things of what not to do.
Oh, yeah. Because
my dating life has been.
We'll get to that.
But a lot of that is kind of a little bit of where I think I got a little confused. And I didn't know, like, I felt like, oh, this, you need to be getting close. You need to be pairing off. You need to be thinking about marriage. And I think I let that go. Get too much into my head.
Leah's the type of person that is so kind and so accepting, and that kind of became a vice to her when she's been dating, that she's so accepting that she accepts things that are not up to par with her standards that she's had her entire life. And so I kind of want you to talk about that experience and what you've learned and how to accept and love others without compromising the deal breakers and the standards that you established when you were a young woman, or I guess for the young men, like things that you won't compromise in a spouse. What advice would you give?
Oh, goodness. That's a lot to remember all of the questions, so you have to walk me through it. But I think it's been really interesting that everyone kind of in my life at the same time in isolated, they, you know, my roommates and my sister and then my seminary teacher and everyone, or sorry, my institute teacher, they all kept telling me the exact same things. And recently I've come to the realization that it's okay to love someone and accept them and to support them in their endeavors to come closer to Christ and to be a disciple of Christ. But the principle it always comes back to for me is being equally yoked. And I've always been like, yeah, but they're such a good person, like, and I want to, like, show them love and acceptance and, you know, because they haven't really had a whole lot of that in their life and they just need support and I feel like I have that capacity to give it to them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are equally yoked, and I feel that it's very important to be equally yoked to have a sustainable relationship. I mean, to have a relationship for your whole life. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hard if you're not equally yoked. The mistake that I've made a lot, though, is I have either compromised being equally yoked socially or equally yoked spiritually, I guess.
Like watching Leah, the boys that she chooses to have relationships with, they are her equal in a lot of ways. And in some ways, they are her superior. But I think it just falls short in some of the big ways, like she'll really like this boy, but he does not like our family. And he, you know, like struggles with things that maybe Leah tried hard to avoid. And so in that sense, from a sister standpoint, I've known Leah and I know how hard she's worked to be staying so clean and then to not be able to expect that from a significant other. For me, it's frustrating because I'm thinking, like, Leah, you're way up here. You can't see my hand motions, but Leah's way up here. And this boy is so kind and so loving, but in a lot of ways, he is not your equal. And for me, that's frustrating because I'm seeing someone I love not be with someone who I deserve is kind of a hard word because everyone deserves love. And in that sense, that's where Leah gets a little lost. And I think a lot of people do. Where, like, you want to help them and you feel that you can, but you almost compromise the things that you've worked so hard to attain. Like those charitable attributes and sexual purity and all of those things. Like, it's hard to see you not be with someone that's equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but everyone has that. I think a lot of people have that innate desire to just help and lift and save and mend and heal. But in a spouse, like, you can't do that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, one thing that I learned over the summer, I got to be an EFY counselor. And we the counselors and whatnot, we spent a lot of time talking together. And something that was pointed out to me is that the person you choose to marry, depending on how well you work together and just the different, just your relationship and how equally yoked you are in all aspects of life. And I think of the four things that we work on, we teach the youth to work on, you know, the physical, intellectual, social, and spiritual, being equally yoked in those areas. It was pointed out to me that if you're not equally yoked in all of those, then your capacity to help others is diminished. And that is something that is just the of utmost importance to me. That is like the one thing I want most in life is to be able to help as many people as I can. And so that's really kind of helped me take a step back and see things from a point of view of, I love this person and I want to encourage them and help them along on their path towards Christ. But I also want to be able to help more than just this one person. I want to be able to help, you know, as many people as I can. And so having a relationship with someone who has that same goal, who has the same capacities at the same time, because I think that we can grow and develop our capacities, but I think it's important that we have the same capacities at the same point in time, mm-hmm. so that we, you know, you stay equally yoked. And they talk about oxen and when they pull on a yoke, and if they're not pulling equally, then both oxen are being hurt by the yoke. Mm-hmm. And that is, I don't want to be hurting my significant other, and I also don't want to be hurting myself. So that was something that I learned that I think has really kind of been a paradigm shift for me in making these choices. And it's made it in my mind, I don't feel like I'm saying, oh, I'm better than this person, or, oh, they're never going to be as good as I am, or anything like that, or they don't deserve as much love as I could give them. But rather, it's looking at it from, I'm trying to help as many people as I can, you know, looking at the big picture, the long run, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I really love that you said that. Something also that me and Leah drove in together to record this, and we were listening to an article that Leah's roommates at college had all been listening to, and I thought it was really interesting. So Leah, would you kind of introduce the article and maybe give us some of your favorite excerpts?
Okay, yeah. So this article is called Choosing Whom to Marry by Scott R. Braithwaite. I think that's how you say it. I'm not entirely sure. And it is from it's August 2018, and I believe it's for the young adults section.
And especially the part about soulmates. I think it has a really interesting take on soulmates. So
in the article, he talks about just kind of three main principles of key principles in approaching someone and making the most important decision in your life is what he says. Mm-hmm. And that's choosing whom to marry. And he talks about how you can, there's a lot of factors that predict how well a couple will work together and how long they'll stay together. He talks about birds of a feather flock together versus opposites attract, and a whole bunch of different research that is done with that. And just with that one, summarizing that, he just talks about having someone who has the same core values as you. And that I thought it was really interesting because he says the harder you have to work to make your core values align means you have less energy, capacity to work on other things, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And that I thought was interesting because it kind of made me think of what I had learned. The next section is the one that you're talking about, that they stop looking for your soulmate is what he says. Mm-hmm. And he's really kind of bold with it. One of my favorite quotes in this section that he talks about with soulmates is by President Boy Kate Packer. And President Packer says, I do not believe in predestined love. You must do the choosing rather than to seek for some one and only so-called soulmate, chosen for you by someone else and waiting for you. You are to do the choosing. You must be wise beyond your years and humbly prayerful unless you choose amiss. And I just love this emphasis on agency.
Like, if you go into dating with that mindset, you're gonna be disappointed mm-hmm. every single time.
Yeah. And like Brother Braithwaite, he talks later on in the article, and he talks about how if you have this idea of you're searching for a soulmate, like you have this one and only, then it can be really detrimental. And I think that that's just this idea that if you are searching for a soulmate and then you think you got it wrong, and then you meet someone else that, you know, has like all the rush of the chemicals and it's so exciting and brand new, then you're going to say, oh, that's my real soulmate. And you're going to leave this wonderful, amazing person in your life because you just think that you don't have the agency to choose.
Yeah, I really, really like that. It made me think just of like the analogy of finding a needle in a haystack. I think when dating, sometimes it feels like that. Like watching Leah and my friends that have returned from their missions, like it's exhausting from what I can tell, of course. But it's just tiring. Like you go on dates and then you have to break up and you have to start again. And it feels like you're just searching and searching and you're never finding the one. But the truth is, you're not finding the one. You're finding a couple of them. And from that, you can choose. It's up to you. Like, there is not one person that, if you're not with them, your life is going to fall apart and your kids are going to be just a disaster and you're never going to get the 4-story mansion that you're wanting and so that you can cut hair in the basement. Like, your life doesn't fall apart just because you don't feel like you found the one. Like, love can be cultivated and it can be changed and it can grow, and love is just as much a verb as it is a noun. That's one of my favorite quotes from Elder Bednar, that you find someone with whom you can build a beautiful and long-lasting relationship, and then you choose every single day for the rest of your life that same person. Mm-hmm. And so I love the idea of agency. I love that you said that. And speaking of breakups, Leah, when is a time in particular in pertaining to dating that you have chosen to be a peacemaker? This is a question that we ask everyone that comes on the podcast. When was a time that you chose to be a peacemaker?
The one that comes to my mind is my most recent experience with breaking up. It was not an easy thing. I think that everybody kind of feels that, understands that. It's terrible being on the end, being broken up with, and it's terrible being the person doing, like, breaking up, initiating it. And it's just, it's a really hard, sad experience for everyone. It's good and you can learn things from it if you choose to
not
let
me.
The Lord.
I was happy.
When I went to go talk to my boyfriend, the way that I don't know how to word it so I don't sound, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, I did so amazing and everybody do just like me. But I felt that there were different reasons why I was choosing to end the relationship, but I didn't feel the need to explain, you know, every little detail, because I think that would have just bred contention and misunderstanding. And so I focused on just the main things that were pertinent to both of us, and I tried to be understanding and to listen to him when he was just kind of expressing like his like kind of bewilderment or trying to just work through his emotions and whatnot, and just honestly crying with him. I spent a lot of time crying. I think I spent more time crying than he did. But just that sitting, you know, getting down in the hole with someone and feeling their pain with them, and doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, avoid causing pain for all of your life, because pain is part of life and you learn from it and it's like surgery. That is the thing that I can think of most recently when I think of trying to be a peacemaker in relationships and breaking up.
That was a perfect example. I think that's the perfect way to end it. I hope that this has been helpful for any of you that are navigating your way through the dating world. It's hard. I wish you luck.
Oh,
couldn't be me, but I know that the Savior is with you all the way. Thank you for listening to this episode. Hope you guys are having just a wonderful semester, and we'll see you next time.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at your church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.